We present Slaughter in the Dark by Marius Brill, with Paul B. Davis as Jack Dunrudy and Rebecca Front as Terry Moore. Episode 4, More Than Meets the Ear.
Listen. Welcome inside my head. When you're blind, every day looks the same. Except this wasn't just every day. This was the day I would die. I was sitting in a cave beneath a monastery, filling with water, with only Terry, my voluntary helper, and 2,000 porn magazines for company. We had tumbled a pornography smuggling ring, but got caught in their hidey hole. The water was up to my chest, and escape was about as likely as the National Enquirer is. I waited for my life to flash before my eyes. Maybe it did. As usual, I missed it. It all started when I came to this island, to this monastery, to protect the abbot before his important press conference. But he was poisoned the night before.
Who did this? Just tell me that.
Red. Red.
Red, my only clue. And three letters. An SAE for a final demand for council tax. A love letter. And a death threat from Lenny Rouge, boss of the pornography smuggling ring. And what about his henchmen, Boots and Underwood?
We haven't even done him yet.
What?
The bomb in his private boat. He's expected on the mainland tonight. Boots wired his ignition. When he sticks his key in, boom!
But top of my list of suspects was Rose Scarlet, the abbot's one-time lover. Although she seemed to be a church-going woman of the highest morals, I discovered she was also a celebrated porn queen, known to the purveyors of pervy mags as Redda Bear, a woman so vicious she was to S&M what S&M is to M&S.
This mustn't come out. No one must know. I have a reputation.
Hello? Is that... God? Hello? I see your holy smoke. Are you there?
Jack, you're a genius. Your smoke has gone up through some hole and attracted someone's attention. Of course we're right beneath the chapel. Oh, we're saved. Down here. We're here. Help us.
Hello? You'll have to speak up. I'm a trifle hard of hearing. Is that you, God?
Terry,
you might as well save your breath. That's Thelonious. He's so deaf, if you told him to stand there and do nothing, he'd just stand there and do nothing. We don't have much time. Any paper?
Only 2,000 magazines.
Great. Get one. Write this down. Thelonious, fetch help. We're trapped in a cave beneath the chapel altar. Hurry. Jack Dunrudy.
Dunrudy. Okay.
Now, roll it up and poke it up through the hole.
But he's sitting on it. Well, here goes.
Oh! Right. Give that here. What's this? This glasses. Parchment. Looks like a magazine. What's this then? International Flagellator and Punisher? Oh, this must be the Vatican Church Times supplement on religious confession and humility. It's supposed to... Oh, no. Tempt me not. Women. Girls. No. Not the groupie.
Goodbye, Jack.
Goodbye, Terry. It was good while it lasted.
It wasn't that good.
And And that was the last, shorter than advertised episode. And now to take us up to the news, some music.
Brothers! Brothers! Turn that wireless off!
What is it, Brother Thelonious?
Beneath the altar, Brother Canalos. Huh? Smoke came up. It's some sort of visitation. You've got to help me move the slab. Mm. There's something underneath it. Quick! Come along!
Satan has cast us out as tuum hella.
Look, a hand, the hand of the devil.
And another, it's like a man's, he's climbing out.
Help us, will you? Come on, Terry, hold on to me. Now, come on, you monks, give us a hand. Bloody hell.
Jack! How good to see you. What are you doing down there?
I'm drowning mostly, sometimes waving.
I can't begin to tell you what a sweet smell air has. Even the air in a church, stained with centuries of incense. I had thought the ever-pious Rose Scarlet couldn't have killed the abbot because she was in love with him. Excuse the expression, but how blind could I be?
Oh, it's you again. Hey! Who's the broad?
A broad is overseas, kid. This is a woman.
And what a woman.
Terry, this is Damien, Rose Scarlet's son.
Pleased to meet you.
Let me show you how pleased I am to meet you.
Is your mummy at home?
Maybe she is, maybe she isn't.
How much says she is?
5 minutes with the babe.
She doesn't play with children.
Yes, I do. I run a creche twice a week.
Who wants children in this? You think I won't be careful?
Is this a pass?
You pass with flying colours, lady.
She'll pass on anything you have to offer.
Listen, babe. Dump the dweeb who can't see for the man who can. And he likes what he sees.
How old are you?
12. And growing. Think you can handle it?
I'm going to have words with your mother.
She won't believe you. She thinks I'm the son of God.
If I find you 3 nails, why don't you go round to a friend's house and see if they'll put you up for the night, huh?
What?
Hello? Oh, it's you, Father Dunrudy.
May I introduce Sister Terry?
A nun? Where's your habit?
I managed to give it up for Lent.
We've come to ask you a little bit more about the abbot.
I'm sorry, I've told you all I know. Now, goodbye.
I only want to know if it's painful.
The death of the man I love.
Having a staple through your navel.
Ah. You'd better come in. Go through, I'm just putting on some tea.
I don't know whether being known as Red Abear, the sadistic seductress, upset her, but she retained her composure.
Father, if you would like to come through and help me.
Certainly.
Father, you must understand. I didn't want to do those pictures. I was stuck in Amsterdam, my passport and all my money stolen. And I had my child to look after. You understand? That was the only way. And then it was all so easy. It's expensive, bringing up a child on your own.
I felt a hand slip into my cassock and rest on my chest. Then it slowly drew downwards.
Admit it. You killed the abbot to stop him revealing that you were in those magazines being smuggled through Finer Island.
It's just I couldn't live through this coming out.
Her other hand untied the string of my robe and it fell open.
I've got my child to think about. And a reputation.
The wet, hot point of her tongue met my bare skin. It sent a shock through my stomach and around my back in a wild goosebump chase. It cooled in the air, tracing a damp track lower and lower.
I must say, Miss Scarlet, this murder, it doesn't look good for you. You had the opportunity, the weapon, that rat poison, motive, the exposure.
Jack? Jack, what's happening?
No problems. The tea's just you.
My breath came in short pants. I was afraid I'd do the same.
Now, Rose. Oh, you'd better come clean. If you're trying to appeal to my better nature, I warn you. Oh, it's a bit lower.
Put your hand in there.
No, we've got enough hands.
Rose certainly knew a religious experience when she gave one.
What's happening?
We're in the middle of a delicate operation.
Jack!
Yes?
What are you doing?
At that moment, more blood rushed to my head than an entire episode of Casualty. I felt guiltier than a Catholic in a condom. It felt like my brain was rolling out of my head, down my back, unpeeling my cortex and using my vertebrae like a giant zipper. There was no explanation.
I can explain. Well, go on then. Just tell me what the hell you were doing.
Well, it's not what you think.
Okay, Dunrody. If you promise to get out of here, I'll keep my mouth shut.
If you'd kept it that way in the first place, I wouldn't be in this trouble.
You are insufferable.
Well, look, I'm sorry. I was looking for my contact lens.
In his frock.
Well, I'd had my eye on that frock for quite a while.
Jack, I think we need a serious talk. Later. As for you, Rose Scarlet, you've got some questions to answer.
I don't know about the abbot, but Rose fingered Thelonious good and proper. Rose had been in collusion with Thelonious. Dressed as a monk, she had taken him a bag of rat poison. She was the mysterious Brother Rosso that I had met on the causeway. The strychnine in rat poison would explain the abbot's violent convulsions. We had to get to Thelonious before he got off the island on the midnight low tide. Outside, the street was quiet. Damien the demon spawn was nowhere to be heard.
How could you do that?
What?
You must think I'm stupid because you know I'm not blind.
Terry, I don't...
It was true. I thought that her brain's sole purpose was to stop things flying through her ears.
You have one serious attitude problem, Jack. You're in there in flagrante. Miss Rose Scarlet slavering all over you. You reckon you can just go around making love to whoever, wherever, like you don't owe anybody anything. And like you take what you want because the world owes you, Mr. Cynical, and your crap jokes.
You don't like my jokes?
A few similes and the odd pun doesn't constitute a joke, Jack. You might. It's like you think just because the world took your eyesight away, you've got a grudge and you can do what you like.
Yeah, right. Why don't you bring my blindness into this? You don't know what it's like.
Of course I know. I've been blinded for some time now, but I'm starting to see again. Blinded by love, more fool me. But now I can see you. You just grab whatever you can get.
Oh, you could start seeing, can you? Something I'm never going
to
do.
Oh, look, I'm fed up to the back teeth with your bloody self-pity. Get a life. Wake up, Jack, and smell the coffee and brush your teeth and get dressed and read the paper and... Oh, Jack, recognise what's around you.
So my jokes are crap.
They're grade A stools, Jack. They're like little notes on life. You note this and you note that. Boring.
I thought you thought I was funny.
You are. You're also odd, strange and peculiar. Jack, why don't we try being friends?
You mean for a change, don't you? Try being friends for a change.
Yeah, for a change.
I'm sorry. I've only got notes. Listen, Terry, I've got to go and get Thelonious before he escapes or does something crazy.
It's Father Dunrody, isn't it?
Yes.
And you came to see me yesterday. Councillor Guy Ronleen, police liaison and religious affairs. A vote for Ronleen is a vote for right. I see you've tracked down one religious affair.
How do you mean?
I'm sure it's no coincidence that you're outside Rose Scarlet's house, the woman who knew the abbot in the most biblical sense possible. And who's this charming young woman with the beautiful eyes?
Sister Terry. Sister Terry, Guy Ronleen.
How do you do?
Sister Terry. Well, I suppose there have been worse losses in the name of religion. The Second World War, maybe.
Charmed.
Like a bracelet. The cheaper the politician, the gaudier the language.
I know what you're up to, detective. Yes, I know. I can sniff a dick at 20 yards.
I'm not going to answer that.
I've done a little homework, Mr. Jack Dunrody. You've used a few unorthodox methods in your time. We're still not sure about that Damore case. Now, it wouldn't do you much good if that information should fall into the hands of, say, the chief of police.
You're about as threatening as a plate of beans during a hurricane.
All you have to do is drop that case, Dunrody. It's not worth it. We're about to catch up with the murderer, secure an arrest.
And secure your election for mayor. Well, don't count on my vote.
Oh, dear. I was so hoping my little dossier on you wouldn't slip into the sticky hands of Police Chief Brammer. My dear, I do hope I can count on your vote in the next election.
What's your position on green issues?
Green issues? I'm all for greens and believe they should be eaten with every meal. I know you'll be sensible, Dunrody, and drop this matter.
I sent Terry to pick up Watson from the kennels while I tracked down Thelonious. It seemed that practically all my suspects were trying to kill the abbot, but it was Thelonious who dealt the poisoned dose. I made my way through the dockside. The fresh sea air choked my nicotine-stained lungs. I asked about, looking for a boat that would take me to the island before low tide. I was told one boat was about to leave, and I climbed on board.
Dunrody, this is my day. And the boss said he wanted you dead or alive. You got away from Underwood, but you won't from me.
Here's Martin Graves.
In an instant, I felt the cold jab of the muzzle of a 45. It prodded my stomach like a hunger pang.
Shoot the blind man. Blast his brains out.
The bird's right.
This time, nothing could save me. Sweat gushed down my face. I could feel the slight movement of the muzzle as his finger slowly squeezed.
Drop that gun!
Oh, sure. Whatever you say.
Damien?
Hadn't you figured it out, great detective?
You're Lenny Rouge.
I'm Dinner on British Rail.
No, stupid! I'm his right-hand man.
You're in with these smugglers? How? Why did you get involved?
Have you seen the price of trainers?
No, I don't see much. But have you seen who's in those magazines?
Mum, of course. Who do you think begged and pleaded with her to go to Amsterdam and then stole her money and passport?
Do you know what you've done to your mother? How you've humiliated her? Brought her to her knees?
Ha! You can talk. I was looking through the kitchen window. Contact lens indeed.
You watched?
Do you want to buy some photos?
Stick a razor in his soul.
Don't you feel any guilt? Any remorse?
Nah, I leave that to you olds. Guilt just isn't in your vocabulary when you're 12.
And I thought I'd heard everything.
Boots, Underwood, could you leave the bridge for a moment? Now, listen up, Dunrody. I've spared your sad life for one reason. I'm tired of answering to Lenny. And I plan to get rid of him.
You're 12 years old. You're supposed to be playing Sonic the Hedgehog and trying to stay up after 11, not making power bids to run international smuggling rings.
Shut up! Lenny wants Thelonious the monk gone, dead or otherwise. He was our inside man on the island. He knows who Lenny is. And he has enough evidence under his damp little mattress to put him away. Now that's when I take over.
So, if I get Thelonious...
Your murderer.
And keep him alive, what do I get in return?
The chance to see your girlfriend alive again.
Terry, what have you done to her?
Oh, I've done nothing. But I've just got off the blower with Lenny, and it seems he has detained her. Wants to keep you off his back.
Who is he? If he harms her, I'll bloody...
Now, no swearing in front of children. I'm sure she's fine. You know, I'm the only one who can take Rouge on. I'm the only one who can get close enough to save her. Think about it.
I know we all think our childhood was lost or wasted, but Damien was on his first teeth and getting into the business of removing other people's violently. I figured that their gang war was their business. I had to save Terry and catch a killer, and they were helping me. The night sea was icy as I swam the few yards to shore. I took my cassock from the plastic bag, pulled up the hood, and set out to find Thelonious. The Herbarium.
Thelonious?
No one. I felt about. The jars of potions. My hand touched a bag. It was sealed. I tore it open and sniffed. I had smelt that before in Rose's house. This was the bag of rat poison she had brought for him. But if it was still sealed, he didn't use it to kill the abbot. But the symptoms, the convulsions, they were right for the rat poison strychnine. Curiouser and curiouser. He couldn't have got off the island. Something was missing. The bells. The bells. I felt along to the bottom of the bell tower. A small door.
Oh!
A small, low door led to the winding staircase, up, around and around, out into the tower. Movement. Outside on a ledge or something. I fingered my way across the wall until I found an archway. Leaned out.
Thelonious!
Go away!
What?
You heard! Go away!
So you could hear all along, you phony!
I warn you! I'll jump!
Don't be a sap! It's not worth it!
I killed him! The abbot! The only person I ever loved!
Each man kills the thing he loves.
Yes, but each man doesn't just watch the thing as he slowly poisons him day after day until the thing is dead.
Slowly? He died almost instantly. Convulsions, then death. Classic strychnine poisoning.
Strychnine? So you think I use that harlot Rose's rat poison? Do you take stupid lessons or does it just come naturally?
I know it was just a ploy. But it was strychnine that killed him.
It was the honey.
The honey in the abbot's cough mixture?
The bees make it from the rhododendron pollen. Kalmia latifolia, adromatoxins. It's poisonous, but it's only deadly in large doses.
So you poisoned him to stop the conference, where you thought he was going to reveal that you were working for Lenny Rouge and kick you out.
I didn't want to kill him. I just wanted to make him too ill to do that conference. The honey made his nose run, all that sneezing. Oh, God, what have I done?
So the red the abbot was referring to was the red cough medicine. I'd have bet my cane that those convulsions, the sudden death, was strychnine.
Listen, Thelonious, maybe you did kill the abbot and maybe you didn't. But Rose was trying to kill him, and so was Lenny Rouge. You should face it, his cards were marked. You like it here, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Surrounded by just men, living in a tiny cell with nothing but your thoughts, eating just bread and water.
Yes! It's pure!
Well, would you come back in if I said I could fix it for you to live in a place like that?
Really? Do you think you can fix that?
10 years minimum.
I heard him edge toward me, felt his hand, grabbed his arm.
Easy does it. Come on, come on, come on.
By the way, just who is Lenny Rouge?
That anagrammatic bastard. Oh!
Damn!
Somehow, he slipped as I pulled him into the tower, headlong into the bell. I felt his head. Some blood dripped from his tonsure. He was still breathing, but out for the count. I felt in my pocket for a tissue to wipe the blood. No tissue, just one of the abbot's envelopes. I tried to use a corner to dab the blood. Typical. Non-absorbent, local government envelope. The abbot's stamped addressed envelope from the council. Of course. The final demand for council tax. The one the abbot sealed. Suddenly I knew the whole story. I left Thelonious dreaming, his ears still ringing, went to the abbot's study and dialed.
I've got what you want. Drive over the causeway, midnight, low tide. Bring Terry.
I pressed myself to the wall of the monastery, feeling the wind bite through my skin. He would come, and he would bring her. Then I heard it, in the distance, and I knew he was coming. Lenny Rouge.
Councillor Guy Ronlein, what a lovely evening.
Now, where's the envelope? I've got the bitch. Come on. And the dog.
I'm all right, Jack.
I've got it here, see? The SAE, the stamped addressed envelope you sent to the abbot. A final demand for council tax. A red bill. If I had my sight, I would have got the red clue immediately. You knew Thelonious was poisoning the abbot anyway, but the press conference scared you. You thought you'd hurry it up.
Yeah, all right. You're not my biographer. Just give me the envelope.
Yes, brilliant plan. You put strychnine crystals on the gum of the return envelope. The abbot would lick it, seal it, and die. And then some worried monk would send it back. And voila, no evidence. You've been sitting at City Hall waiting for this envelope.
I brought the girl. Now just give me the envelope.
I mean, it wouldn't have done for the abbot to reveal to the world that Councillor Guy Ronlein was just a lousy anagram for Lenny Rouge. Gang leader, smuggler, murderer.
Just give it me. Burning. Burning. Gone. Now, there's not a court that would believe you. Goodbye, Jack.
I think you'll find you've wasted too much time.
But my car! It's swamped with the tide! You've ruined my bloody car! It's a BMW! It cost a fortune!
Do I hear a little bird?
Ha! Ha ha! You blind git! There's the abbot's boat! You forgot that!
Stop! Don't! Don't! Your men! They booby-trapped it!
I wasn't born yesterday!
Quick, Terry! Come here!
I'm coming!
Get down!
Booby-trapped, eh?
When the last siren had died, the last boat had gone, we stood there, just Terry and me and the rolling, crashing sea.
Hello, sailor. Kill all the blighter. Prisoners out.
Excuse me.
You wouldn't hit a defenseless bird. Help, I'm an endangered species.
Just Terry and me and the rolling, crashing sea and a few feathers.
We did all right, didn't we?
Yeah, we did all right.
In the final episode of Slaughter in the Dark by Marius Brill, Paul B. Davis was Jack Dunrudy and Rebecca Front, Terry Moore. David Collings was Thelonious, the monk, and David Holt, Watson, the dog, and Damien, the boy. Natasha Pine was Rose Scarlet, John Turner, Guy Ronlein, Ian Masters, Boots, John Hartley, Underwood, and Jonathan Keeble was the parrot. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Slaughter in the Dark was directed by Andy Jordan.